Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146, presents Lynn Samuels.
Fighting, but I just feel too tired to be fighting. Yes, I'm not. just in. Transportation Secretary Norman Mineta is resigning. And when they asked, when the press said to Tony Snow, why is he resigning? It's like very sudden. He's resigning as of July the 17th. Tony Snow, you know, somebody really, what a nasty little putz he is. He goes, because he wants to. Why don't you go back to Fox News where that kind of nastiness plays? Because he wants to. Nobody knows why. So we got rid of the Treasury Secretary. Now we're getting rid of the Transportation Secretary. They never get rid of the right people. Like Bush. why screw around with these secretaries when you could get rid of Bush? Cheney, Rove! So Garrett actually had the perfect plan. It really is the perfect plan, I think. He was off. He took off like the middle of last week. And he came back today. And that's like easing yourself into it. You have to, you come back. It's one day. And then you have a weekend already. So you really like, it's like 2 weeks off, really. You're like, you know, you work 2 days 1 week and 1 day the next week. So it really, it's only a week. But it must feel like it's like two weeks. You know, you people should be so happy for Sirius, for the shows that are produced here. Because the ratings book ends in terrestrial radio today. And they're all going away. I didn't check in to see if Russia's going away, but I'm sure he is. So many of the terrestrial radio, Randy is going away until July the 5th. And, oh, the Republicans can relax. Nobody's going to be calling them gay for nearly 2 weeks. And Michael Savage is taking off. I, of course, am facing suicide. what am I going to do? I can't live without my Michael Savage. I just can't. And even if they would play best ofs, which they don't anyway, that's not the same. That's not the same. I think I'm going to have to, like, take up the Young Turks. I may just have to take up listening to the Young Turks. And Stephanie. My God. So there's another America's Got Talent tonight, a brand new one, it says. They had 2 hours the other night. And there was better stuff on, but tonight there really isn't that. There's nothing on. You know, there's numbers. And, you know, Jennifer Love Hewitt, which I would love to like that show, but I just don't. I just don't. I just sit there every Friday at 8 going, I want Joan of Arcadia! I want that show back! So I guess I can watch America, You've Got Talent, or whatever the hell. I love Regis. I am in love with Regis Philbin. I just am. And it turns out that bitch, and it's in some paper today what a bitch she is, that no talent bitch is bulimic on top of it all. Oh, God. You know, she's probably not bulimic. You know what her thing is? She is a calculating little bitch, that Catherine McPhee. And I hated her from day one. And she probably has somebody saying to her, you know, the way to really be famous these days, honey, you can't just sing and you can't just be pretty. Well, she, in her case, pretty, because she certainly can't sing. But somebody probably said, you have to be bulimic or anorexic, pick one. So she came out in People magazine, Catherine McPhee. Oh, I was bulimic because I was a dancer and a body image. And, oh, I lived in L.A. And when I won the audition to be on American Idol, I went into a rehab. Oh, Jesus. Even if it's true, who cares? And who even believes it's true? What do you want me to talk about? You want me to talk about the 7 people that were going to blow up the Sears Tower? Ha, ha, ha! Were they all named Jose Padilla? I saw that last night, and I'm just like, oh, please. You know, the first thing I saw was, before I think it went national, it was on the Sun Sentinel on a Miami website, and they said, oh, the FBI is moving into Liberty City. And I said, naturally. Even I know what Liberty City is, like a poor black neighborhood. You know, you think the FBI would have moved into Boca Raton? Jesus, I'm so sure that they, oh God, they were just going to blow up all of America. I just hope that they don't manage to railroad these people the way they railroaded that poor little schlumpy Pakistani kid in New York a couple of weeks ago, who they actually convicted with the same BS. The kid, everybody who knew this kid said he's like a schmuck, this kid. And they sent in an infiltrator. And you know what they are? They're agent provocateurs. Actually, you're supposed to, I think, say agence provocateur, but, you know, let's not get fancy. It's only radio. And the jury believed all the BS. So this is the same kind of a thing. Believe me, I was home. I didn't turn on Gonzalez's press conference, you know. And these people just lie and they lie and they lie. Oh. You know what's going to happen, though? I'm convinced of this. They're going to tell us the truth about something. And I'm going to be sitting here saying they're lying. I'll tell you, I did it once already. The shoe bomber. I was on the air when they caught Richard Reed. And I said, oh, please. If I ever heard a made-up story, that was it. But he apparently did. Now, he was crazy, and he probably just couldn't have even done anything. And I don't even believe that when they said they had evidence, I don't even believe that. But, you know, I guess he did try to set his shoes on fire. But something will happen. You know, the bird flu will come, or, you know, there's going to be my new set. Oh, Garrett, you don't know my... We're going to get hit by an asteroid. That's my new thing. And I'll be sitting here mocking it. The whole left will say, oh, please, they lie about everything. And then it'll happen. You know, maybe North Korea is going to blow California off the face of the earth in the next 10 minutes. Who knows? Because I don't believe that either. I mean, I believe that they have, you know, that they, I don't know, they're feeling neglected. What are you paying all of that attention to Iran? You know, it's like sibling rivalry. It's like nutty country rivalry. You're paying all that attention to Iran. We're here too. So I don't believe anything. I certainly don't believe anything they say. So the minute I read Liberty City, I'm like, oh God, oh God. Let's go bother the black people some more. You know, it wasn't enough. Catherine Harris didn't let any of them vote. You know, so I didn't even watch it, because I'll tell you something. Nobody has made this point, but I will make it. 3 weeks ago, was it only 3 weeks ago? Remember they arrested those terrorists in London? Remember that? I remember that headline on Drudge. Please search for chemical vests. And then, if you followed the story, which of course nobody did, my website followed it, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Samuels.com, it was nothing. It was like nothing. I don't even remember, like, where they got out. Some informants, some informants had informed on these two brothers, one of whom they shot. And do you know what happened within about 6 days? They'll let them both out of jail and say, oh shit, oh dear, another mistake, like when we killed that poor South American kid last year. Remember the one they killed at the subway turnstile? And they still in England, they're still insisting it's better that we would have gone and shot this man and arrested them and like rousted the whole neighborhood. They were locking people up left and right. Cause if we had been right, it would have been a good thing to do. So it doesn't matter that we were totally 100% just wrong. And then they arrested, how many did they arrest? Remember Canada a couple of weeks ago? That was like the week after the ones in London. They arrested them in Canada. And Canada, an otherwise nice country, has a little problem with freedom of the press. And they apparently have shut down that whole story. They do that. They do that. They just say, that's it. Nobody can write about it. Shut up. I don't know what the consequences are. But they do that. Because I once broke an entire embargo. They never count the number. When they had those two very good-looking people, they called them like the Ken and Barbie. They were two very good-looking white people who had murdered, tortured, sexually abused, you name it. A couple of girls, including the woman's own sister. And you can imagine, you know, what kind of a trial is that anywhere? My God, they're gorgeous white people and everything. And they would not allow, according to whatever laws they have in Canada, they didn't allow anyone to discuss it on the radio or TV. Nobody was allowed to write about it. I think while the trial was going on, they could just report, you know, like facts. Well, I was on WABC at that time in New York, but that station has an extraordinarily strong signal, and it broadcast up to Canada. They even, Time Magazine had a big article 1 week about that Ken and Barbie killer thing. They would not allow that issue of Time Magazine to be brought into Canada. And I was just, I sort of liked the story, but I more liked the idea that the only place people in Canada, I was on at night. We only went to Canada at night, that station that I was on. And I talked about it every single night because I felt like I was just, you know, giving a fuck you finger to the entire government of Canada. What were they going to do? They can't stop people, you know, from tuning in a radio station. So anyway, they seem to have shut down everything about the terrorists they arrested in Canada. But prior to them shutting down all the information, let us go back and remember what they said about the terrorists they arrested in Canada. The terror cell had been infiltrated by an informer. Does that ring a... And they had no weapons. They had, oh no, they did. They actually did. They had ordered all the fertilizer. But the informer had ordered it. Remember that? So it sounded like really familiar. Later last night or this morning or something, there was a familiar ring to the idea that they arrested these people, of whom five are just regular American people. They are just regular, born right here Americans. Right? And they wanted to order fertilizer. Well, I'll tell you who ordered the fertilizer. And it wasn't the terrorists. I think, can we look and see if David Safavian, you know, like the procurement officer for the White House, ordered a few thousand pounds of fertilizer? Now, I don't know, maybe it'll turn out they'll be guilty, but I wouldn't bet on it. So the new thing, because there's an article, I think, in the Daily News here today that, I don't know, Chertoff, one of these idiots. I can't even keep track of them. Who's the head of anything anymore? Mueller, Chertoff, Gonzalez, whatever. The new thing they're afraid of, you know, because you can't just keep having people be afraid of the same old stuff, is homegrown terrorism. See, they, I think they figure that everybody's had it already. You know, with this, with the Arab shit. You know, they're already with these Arabs. So now you have to get people afraid of something else. And, you know, in this country, what's the best? Oh, well, you know who all the Muslims are in America? They're the black Muslims. Because how easy is that going to be to sell? Oh, well, they all hate the black people anyway. Now let them look at every black person as though every black person is secretly a black Muslim. It's like two for one. You got your nigger, you got your Arab. There you go. Oh, my God. I think that's the new product they're going to sell prior to the election. You know, in the run-up to the war, remember in, 2003, Karl Rove famously said, this is so cynical, or 2002, I guess, he said, you can't start selling a new product in the summer. He said that. And the product they were going to sell was the war with Iraq. So I guess the new product is going to be the terrifying black Muslim. Oh, my God. Two for one. Because these were just one person's Haitian. Oh, God. Now, they know you can, you know, the Haitians are fabulous. You know, remember AIDS and the Haitians? You know, oh, God, all the Haitians have AIDS. And, you know, you can always go, yes, he was from Haiti, and you know whose fault? You know whose fault this whole terror cell is? It's Bill Clinton's fault. Yes, it is, because remember Bill Clinton sent American troops to Haiti? So Bill Clinton was, like, encouraging the Haitians or something. So I think this is the new product. I think they've had enough with the foreigners and the xenophobia. It's time to just get some good old-fashioned American race hate going again. You know, we haven't stirred that up in a while. All right. Now, I may have missed something because I really didn't check the update because I'm actually looking on my website to see where I can stick in the story about Norman Mineta leaving. I love that. Well, Mr. White House spokesman, why is Mr. Mineta leaving? Because he wants to. Oh, Jesus. Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left, 146.
Start your day the liberal way. Bill Press, mornings at 6 East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Ever in your life, you go to CNN.com. I have to check my site because they probably automatically updated the story. This is a Republican administration's dream picture. It is their dream picture. Seven young, well, that one on the end's not so young. Seven black guys. None of whom looks especially happy. But not one of whom looks scary. They look surprised. Don't they? Especially that guy on the bottom left, the second one in. They look just astonished. Like, what have I been arrested for here? What is going on? Oh, this is just like every racist dream. This is so fabulous. You got two of them with some braids. You got one of them with the I don't know what you call it. You know, with like the sticking up hair. You know. Oh, it's just fabulous. Just what, you know, I'm sure. Isn't that beautiful? The cover art to the, you hardly ever get cover art anymore in a CD, but the Keen CD has just, and it's not a cover artist, it's a real artist they found. And when you buy it, You take the thing out of the CD holder and just open it up, and it just opens up, and you have all the lyrics on one side and this lovely painting. I actually would like to hang that on my wall, but then you don't have the lyrics. I mean, you have them online. All right, now here, even CNN, you can tell already how even CNN seems a little skeptical here, don't they? A federal indictment against seven men revealed Friday. Oh, a federal indictment against seven men. Shouldn't there be like a comment here? Details what the government says. This sounds very skeptical to me. Was a plan to kill all the devils we can, including blowing up Chicago's Sears Tower. But the federal grand jury indictment also painted a picture of a group that had no weapons. Or other supplies for their alleged jihad. Doesn't this sound absolutely like CNN doesn't believe not one word? That was intended to be as good or greater than 9/11. Narcile Batista, considered the recruiter. Oh, he must be the Haitian. Somebody named Batista. Pretty, you know, you can try to reach out to Al-Qaeda. How do you reach out to Al-Qaeda? What did you look, excuse me, you know, what do you go to 411.com and to type in Al-Qaeda? Oh, this is just ridiculous. But he really contacted an FBI operative posing as a member of Al-Qaeda. He allegedly told the informant that he was organizing an Islamic army to wage a jihad in the United States. Yeah, you know what this is? This is like little boys. This is little boys. I can't believe this is the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Little kids do this. They're like teenagers. This is like, we don't want to play World of Warcraft. You know, so we're going to pretend we're going to have our, you know what this is like? You know, I said to Brian yesterday, I don't know whether it's a good thing about getting older or a bad thing, but you start seeing everything repeating itself. Let me say two words to you older people. Black Panthers. Oh my God. It was the same thing. It was young black men. We're going to come and kill everybody in their bed. They were just going to be coming and killing everybody. In the meantime, I think the only person who did actually get killed in their bed was poor Fred Hampton, who they broke into the guy's apartment. He's sound asleep. And, they blew him away. So don't think the government was never like this. The government was like this. Batiste gave the informant a list of equipment they needed. Boots. Are boots illegal? Uniforms. What kind of Al-Qaeda uniforms? What? Like where it would say Al-Qaeda? Maybe they needed like big triple-sized t-shirts that said Al-Qaeda. Machine guns. Well, all right, you know, everybody's for machine guns. Radios. Everybody likes a nice radio. Vehicles. What does this sound like? You sound like eight-year-olds, doesn't it? We need some boots and a uniform that sells Al-Qaeda. And $50,000 in cash. Oh, that's so pathetic. Because, like, if you're a poor person living in, like, Liberty City, you probably said $50,000 seems like so much money. Mothers of two of the indicted men will denied that their sons were followers of Islam. Oh, my God. That would be even more fabulous. They're not even denying their sons were followers of Al-Qaeda. They go like, what are you fucking talking about? We're like Baptists. There, the mothers told CNN their sons are Christians. Now, they supposedly belong to this group that I couldn't find a website for them called Seas of David. And the head of the Seas of David said that they combine Islam and Christianity. So the mothers say that they're Christians. Oh, here. Look at this. Even the FBI doesn't believe this shit. Even the FBI doesn't believe this. Deputy FBI director at this bogus BS news conference today described the plan as more aspirational than operational. So the FBI doesn't believe this either. What is the point of this? Oh, God. Batiste, because he's the worst one, because he's not just black, he's from Haiti. And you know what they're like in some voodoo when they all have AIDS. And Bill Clinton liked Haiti. Wait, they'll tell you that he's a friend of Jean-Bertrand Aristide. How much you want to make a bet? How much, somehow Aristide's name is going to pop up. You know, they're going to say, oh, God, we haven't said a shitty thing about Aristide in a long time. Let's make this poor guy a friend of his. Batiste, oh, my God, do you know what he did? Oh, they need to kill him immediately. He provided the informant with a list of shoe sizes so he'd know what size boots to get. I'm going to die. This is... Oh, Jesus Christ. Now it's illegal. Garrett, 9, sometimes a 9.5. Depending. Also at the conference, U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez described the men, this is the sales campaign starting, as homegrown terrorists who may prove to be as dangerous as groups of Al-Qaeda and who have come to view their home country as the enemy. But don't worry, because they're only going to always be black guys. So don't you white people worry. Oh, God. This is how they're going to start more spying, more surveillance, we didn't even get to the latest spying story. Gonzalez said there never was an immediate threat. All right, so he knows there wasn't a threat. The FBI knows there was no threat. But what the hell they have... Gonzalez goes, there's no threat. The FBI goes, there's no threat. But you know what? There was a threat that people are going to forget, like how fabulous Bush is. Right? That was the threat. We felt that the combination of the planning and the overt acts taken, like giving their shoe size, that it's sufficient to support this prosecution. Robert Mueller warned about, guess what? Oh, here's the new phrase. Okay, here we go. Twice in 2 paragraphs. Homegrown terrorists. And don't forget, they're all black. You know, black people, every now and then somebody who had a sense of humor would ask black people since 9/11. And they'd say, this is like so cool. People aren't giving us those looks on it. People aren't looking like, oh, black guys. But enough of that. Let's stir up the old racism. Mueller warned about homegrown terrorists Friday during a speech in Cleveland that was scheduled before the raid. Oh, yeah. And it wasn't like coordinated. They actually probably were in court already. Batiste recruited and supervised individuals in order to organize and train for a mission to wage war against the United States government, which included a plot to to destroy by explosives the Sears Tower. They pledged an oath to Al-Qaeda. Is that like when you would go out, like, in the woods and you'd all cut your finger, which you can't do that anymore, you know, because of AIDS, and you'd, like, pledge, you know, to be blood brothers forever? They pledged an oath to Al-Qaeda. Oh, God, this sounds like eight-year-old children. I'm sorry. And supported a purported mission of Al-Qaeda to destroy FBI buildings within the United States. Oh, please. Oh, Batiste, this is the one they're really targeting, is this one guy. He wanted to attend Al-Qaeda training. You know, they would have been better off if they had just gone to a paintball thing. Although, I think the Lackawanna Six, the bogus crap they had up in Lackawanna, where I think they also got convicted. But didn't they arrest them? Wasn't one of the evil things they did is they did go to paintball things? I saw some, what movie did I see where they were all at a paintball thing? That looks fabulous. Did you ever see a paintball thing? And they have all those blown up like forts and stuff. And oh my God. Oh, it was in that horrid movie, Failure to Launch. That's where I saw it. I want to do that. I really do. That looks so fabulous. I mean, I wouldn't because you have to go with other people. That's something I guess you can't do by yourself. Explosives. He wanted to attend Al-Qaeda training along with five of his soldiers during the second week of April. Well, I guess he didn't go. He wanted a full ground war against the United States in order to kill all the devils we can. Oh, please. This is the Black Panthers all over again. But they, at least, they were feeding children on the side. It accuses seven men of the indictment. Okay, let's get their names. Oh, you can't even tell who's the Haitian here. Patrick Abraham. Oh, homegrown terrorist right there. Stanley Fenor. Nordimar Herrera. Burson Augustin. Lieglinson Lemarin and Rothschild Augustine. The suspects also may have been targeting other buildings. Batiste and Augustine gave the undercover agents photos of Miami's FBI building. Photos and videos of the James Lawrence King Federal Building, Federal Courthouse Buildings, the Federal Detention Center, and then the Miami Police Department. So what? I just never heard of it. Wait, I'm going to read the rest of this, but we better take a break. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146.
Alex Bennett, mornings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Okay, hang on, Martin. I'm going to get to you in like 1 second, but I must say this. Now, the other big story today is that the United States, since right after 9/11, there's some huge repository of banking information, international, but everything, our banks, the whole world's banks, called SWIFT or something. And although our president is not so SWIFT, we have been spying on this since right after 9/11. We, like, convinced them that they have to cooperate with law enforcement authorities, you know, who apparently no longer believe in warrants or, you know, anything. So that story broke yesterday evening, I think, on the L.A. Times website and the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal broke it, you know, between last night and today. Now, part of that story, you can get all this at LynnSamuels.com, which is the most fabulous website. You know, I've been lucky. I don't know. I've been, like, plucking these stories, like, really quick. Okay. So we're spying on, what are we spying on now? All your phone calls, all your, into everything. No warrants, no FISA court. I forget all the detail, but this government's just spying. So now we're spying on all your banking in this country out of everything to, you know, track down the Al-Qaeda, the funding, the, you know, all of that BS. Because, you know, that was before we made up this homegrown terrorist bullshit. So they try to get the newspapers not to print that story about the spying on the banking. Or at least they tried to get, apparently they never asked the Wall Street Journal not to print it. That's interesting. And the Wall Street Journal wouldn't say that they were told not to print it. But they tried to get the Times, they kept begging the New York Times and the LA Times not to print the story. You know, because it's all their fault. You know, they, you know, they're for the terrorists. You know, it's not that they don't want us to become a fascist country. That couldn't have anything to do with it. So if they had enough time to be chatting with these newspapers, you know, saying don't print the story, I would assume the government might actually know when the story was going to be printed. And I bet they said to themselves, what are the people of America going to be more interested in? Some story about our government spying on everybody again, or seven real scary looking black guys? So I think these poor guys probably got busted just to, you know, make everybody not pay attention to the story about spying. That's what I think. Martin in New Haven.
Yes, Lynn. I know you don't need my validation to tell you how wonderful you are and what great program you have. I just want to thank you so much for bringing about the awareness about this situation in Miami with the black guys, because I think this is a, just another diversionary tactic by the Bush administration and the right wingers. And the bottom line is that it's racial profiling at its highest level.
Well, so, it's not even, it's just a cynical manipulation of the fact that they know so many people hate black people.
Absolutely. So therefore, I thank you so much for just being able to just say it, because a lot of people who may even know it are too afraid to say it at this point in time in our society. But you have the guts to say whatever's on your mind, and I love you for it.
Well, thank you. But Martin, I'll tell you, watch out. They're going to be looking at you now. For 5 years, they weren't looking at you. They were looking at the Arabs.
Yeah, absolutely. So now it's just back on me again. So guess what? Thank you so much for exposing it.
Okay. Thanks, son.
I love you, hon.
Thank you. Bye. I mean, it's just so obvious. You know, whenever they're backed against the wall. Racism. You know, what a great fallback. You know, it has such a fabulous history in this country. And, you know, it just always works. Homegrown terrorists, and they're all going to be black. They're all going to be black because, you know, those, you know what I think we ought to do? I have the best idea. I think that there should be a, oh my God, Kool & the Gang co-founder dead. And who was that? Cladies Charles Smith, the co-founder and lead guitarist. He was found dead. He was 57 after a long illness. Okay. I immediately think musician. Drug overdose. I'm sorry. But I do. Oh, Jesus. I mean, oh, Jesus. So now it's homegrown terrorists. That's what we have to worry about. Until, are they going to try to keep this going through the election in 2008, or is this just for this November? You can't tell. And these mothers. I love these mothers going, he's a Christian. And the guy that's the head of the group, these guys were, and he says it's like they were in a religious study group. Maybe they just thought they'd get some new boots. You know, people don't understand how people think. You don't have a lot of money. You know, it's nice somebody would give you new boots and, you know, men love uniforms. Some uniforms, a few guns. And, well, I don't know where these guys lived before, but, like, why would you be sitting in Miami? You know, going, let's blow up the Sears Tower. I barely know the Sears Tower exists. How often does anybody think about the Sears Tower unless you happen to live in Chicago? I don't think very often. am just like so disgusted. I am just so disgusted. And I'm reading, I don't know why, Bill O'Reilly's column today. And he's all into, let's give them one more chance now that they killed those two soldiers and then like blow Iraq off the face of the earth. How many Iraqis have we killed? This, I'm telling you something. You know who I really think killed those two soldiers? I think we did. I just think everything is just some plot to get these effing Republicans reelected. I really do. I have never seen so many people lie so consistently from like the day he was elected. Well, he never was elected. That's the point. Just when I start thinking, you know, Lynn, you really could be getting too paranoid. And you really, it is possible, as bad as they are, to be blinded by hatred at some point. You know, to just become, but go back. He didn't even get elected. Everybody forgets how this all began. You know, somewhere in your mind, it's like, oh, he got elected in the year 2000. But he didn't. From the election day in 1999, these people have thrown this country into total chaos. Do you realize that? From election day in November of the year 2000, there has been one form of chaos or another. And I just don't believe this was all an accident. You know, you just keep everybody off balance. You know, oh, it wasn't a regular election, and it certainly wasn't. Then 9/11. Oh, God, that just opened the gates of hell, didn't it? I better take a break. And I will tell you how happy I am that a sack of shit guy I knew 30 years ago is going to prison. Oh, every now and then there's something so great in the newspaper. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146.
Tom Hartman, right after Alex Bennett and just before Lynn Samuels on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Oh, I only have a minute, so I'm going to save this. I will tell you, though, that do you know the Department of Homeland Security took away 40% of New York City's Homeland Security funding and about 40% of Washington, D.C.'s? But, and I will have to explain what this is. I only remember this because they brought it up on Alex's show. Do you know that the Hamptons Jitney got $85,000 in Homeland Security money? Because those terrorists, probably the homegrown ones, probably they'll be attacking the Hamptons. They got $85,000 for a bus to the Hamptons for Homeland Security. Think about that. We have a whole other hour, and then I can go out into the rain. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146. I'll be right back.
Defending. Real truth, real opinion, real liberal talk radio. Sirius Left 146 presents Lynn Samuels.
Just another woman with no name. Not the girl you remember, but she's still.
is the best story I ever saw on Raw Story. And they actually have it hooked up to the WCBS in New York. I guess you can watch it out in East Hampton. And we were just speaking of the Hamptons. A funeral, huh? They're putting the funerals right on the internet. The first in New York, anyway. See, this was because, you know, Jews, we bury people like, bam, 24 hours. Well, so do Muslims, actually. You know, Muslims also have to be buried with it. So, the Star of David Memorial Chapel in West Babylon, just as a little extra added attraction, there's no extra charge. And he's going to just put the funerals right on. So does that mean, like, if you just like to watch funerals, could you just go to their website and just sit there and watch funerals? How fabulous. I love it. This is... I'm not that fat. This chair is collapsing. I had a story up for a couple of days. I just took it down this morning. This is so obvious. That, you know, every now and then walking around the city, you hear like an ambulance or a fire truck. Now, I somehow remember in my younger days, you would hear a siren anywhere on a highway, on a city street. You'd hear the siren and you would just watch every car pull over automatically and immediately, right? I remember that. Maybe you have to be my age. Now you hear the sirens, it's like, forget about it. Nobody pulls over. Nobody. So I had a story up that the other thing, what used to get them right away? Funeral processions. That big line of cars, and they'd all have their headlights on. Well, now nobody has time to wait. They're having accidents where people are just like plowing into the cars in the funeral procession. They can't wait. They can't wait. And, you know, because fuck everybody else. Because everybody now believes each person's like an army of one. You know, I'm the only one on this earth, which is why I'm taking up three seats on the subway. Do you know what I've discovered? This is something very interesting on the subway. That funeral story is on rawstory.com. This is very interesting. Now, I don't like being all squashed together on the subway, particularly in the summer. Nobody likes it. But tough shit. Everybody paid their $2. And you can look at each set of subway seats and you can see some of them, you know, have little tushy indents. You know, so you can really see how many people are supposed to sit there. But you know pretty much if, you know, it's for six or seven or eight or whatever. And when I really want to sit down, I will squeeze myself in. I don't care. I really don't give a shit. Because my theory is I paid the same $2 you paid and I'm sitting down. Well, do you know what happens more and more? Unless I smell bad and I don't know it. Rather than saying anything, more and more often, so I'll squeeze myself in where there's room for a person and somebody sitting, they'll get up. They'll just stand up. And you know what I say? Fuck you. Who cares? Stand up. Because I don't see why I should stand up when I want to sit down. Because you think you're not supposed to have another person touch you. It's New York, honey. And it's the subway. So if you don't like another person's body touching you, you stand. Oh, I love this. When I go home, I think I'm going to watch the funeral. I'm going to see if they have the whole funeral up. And this is becoming easier because now everybody has broadband. And, you know, it's just so easy to put a whole funeral up on the internet. And I know people that would just love that. There are people who just love going to funerals. All right, so, see, I'm already thinking about what I'm doing when I leave. I'll tell you what I'm doing. This is so amazing to me, because I am like a really obsessive, crazy person. And now what I'm obsessed with are these Le Sport Sack medium weekend bags. I just will go anywhere to try to find, like, a new one, a new design, a new color. So I, and you have to, which means, because Macy's has, they sold Lord & Taylor. Did you know that, you ladies? All across America, they sold Lord & Taylor. So they're going to keep running it as Lord & Taylor, but not everywhere. So some of you may lose your Lord & Taylor. It'll become like a totally different store. Not that it's been much the last couple of years. Anyway, so every few weeks, I feel like I have to go, you know, we have the biggest Macy's in the world on 34th Street, to go and see what's doing with the Le Sport Sacks. And a few weeks ago, I ran into this girl who I think worked for Macy's, because they do sometimes have representatives from companies who work in the department stores, but this girl, I think, worked for Macy's. And she was the one who clued me into the big Le Sport Sack store on Madison Avenue, the flagship. And we had this lovely conversation, like two insane people who did nothing but think about bags day and night. And I thought how nice that is. Because, oh, I don't know, you know, like I'm an old lady and people are so nasty, you know, like that I told you yesterday, which I just can't forget, when I was in that bank and that girl looks at me and she says, occupation? Oh, retired. Just looking at me. No. So you can be having this fabulous conversation with somebody in their 20s as long as you're obviously both insane, you know, and obsessed about something. Like the girls in the Reebok store. You know, they're not, I don't know, dismissive, I guess, is what people in their 20s are, you know, to like somebody old. So yesterday, you know, because I'm trying to check out, you know, do they have new designs and all of this. And there's nothing fabulous. And this one kind of bag I like, I actually discovered from this girl yesterday, they don't always make that size. You know, they have some designs where they don't even make this, which is why it's so hard to find. So I start talking to yet another girl in their 20s. You know, and here I am, obviously looking old enough to be retired, if you go by that bitch in the bank. And I say to her, all right, well, you seem to know everything. What about that green one? And she says, oh, my God, that green one. And she, it's like unbelievable. She said, you know, they have that down at the Soho store. I said, oh, God, I saw it at Lord & Taylor. Do they have, is that the size you, yes, that's the size I like. Well, I'm telling you, we will. And so I actually called the store this morning and said, do you have this size? So I have to go down and get it. It's a lovely, it's just a solid color because Le Sport Sack, everything is a design, you know. And when I'm wearing my camo pants, you know, and I'm carrying my pink bag with the design on it, it's such a clash. That's why I think I really need two green ones, because that could be just forever. You know, and I could just take all the other ones I bought and never use them again. So I can go back to the dark brown one. All right. Oh, look at this. BBC. In a BBC news broadcast today, Miami Herald reporter Manny Garcia remarks that the government arrest of seven men in connection with a plot, in quotes, to blow up the Sears Tower is probably overblown. See, leave it to the BBC. Nobody should. Although I still say, It really is true that the CNN report on this sounds fairly skeptical. Oh, I heard this report. I heard this because it's a woman, Manny. We've seen previous cases where the federal government has announced with great hoopla breaking terrorist cells. And when you start deconstructing the case, you see that it's just a lot of talk. You know, Jose Padilla. Can we go back to poor Jose? No, I'm sorry. It is not Padilla. It's Padilla. You know, we all think we're so smart. We're saying it the Spanish way. His name is actually, it is pronounced with a double L. Anyway, remember they arrested him and they said he was going to set off a dirty bomb, except for people who knew him who said he's like a jerk. He's an idiot. He wouldn't know what a dirty bomb was. And they held Jose Padilla for how many years? With no trial, with no nothing, you know, like the new way, the new America. You know, the new way America is. The new rules. The Constitution, we don't need no stinking Constitution. Then when they finally bring him before a judge, he pleaded. Bargained to something. I don't even remember how. And they said, oh, we'll forget the dirty bomb thing. The government just said, oh, we'll forget it. Could it be because it was like BS from day one? And they move him to Miami. And now he's still in jail. But now he's going to go on trial for like sending them money or something. And you realize half these people that they get for trying to help Al-Qaeda by sending them money are probably, God, I thank the Lord that I never sent money to Palestinian charities because I'd probably be locked up, you know. So that's what happened to the dirty bomber. And, you know, we all know that that whole Zacharias Moussaoui thing was a crock. Do you know... Oh, there was the most fascinating article. I didn't even post it. I don't even know where I saw it yesterday. Remember Zacharias Moussaoui? When was that trial? About 6 weeks ago, so nobody remembers it. And at the end, they do that thing that drives me crazy is they, first of all, he had nothing to do with 9/11. But, you know, they were trying to pretend he did. So they drag in the parents of people that got killed in 9/11 to carry on about how he killed their beloved family member. And, you know, he should get the death penalty. Remember that? Where suddenly every trial now just turns into like Oprah, you know, with people carrying on. What people who have lost a loved one have to do with the law is beyond me. Well, they also, and it got very little publicity even at the time, there were family members of 9/11 victims who came into that courtroom and said, I don't think he should get the death penalty. They were like on the other side. They didn't want him to get the death penalty. Some of them didn't believe in the death penalty, and some of them actually believed that if he were given the death penalty, it would only make him a martyr. So it was better, like, lock him up forever, but don't give him the death penalty. Do you know that the government prosecutors tried to prevent any of the family members of victims of 9/11 who wanted to say, don't give him the death penalty from testifying? They didn't want that, because they said, oh, they only want to come in and say he shouldn't get killed because they're against the death penalty. What is this government? It's unbelievable. Well, it isn't unbelievable. Actually, I wish it were unbelievable. Greg in Orlando.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, what's up?
Well, I just want to make sure I understood what you said a little while ago.
Yes.
That you thought, or you believe that it was the U.S. who killed the two soldiers over in Iraq.
Yeah, I sort of do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to be one of that's even more outrageous than the things that Ann Coulter said about the Jersey girl.
Why?
It's not more outrageous? Okay, it's as outrageous.
I don't think so. Why is it outrageous?
Because you have, you have absolutely no proof whatsoever of that.
Well, Bush had no proof when we went to war with the whole country. Jeez.
Yeah, but it's clear that your hatred of the Bush administration leads you to make these claims.
It's so convenient to suddenly have, it's so convenient for them to suddenly have these two soldiers killed in this manner that pushes, that makes them a national news story.
You really think that our own people took two of our citizens?
Yeah, not our own soldiers. Excuse me, not our own soldiers. I think like the CIA is somebody.
I'm sorry?
The CIA.
Oh, so you think the CIA went and killed two of our own people?
Sure.
One.
Honey, I think the government knocked down the towers on 9/11,
I would love, if you're right, I'd love to see some kind of proof. But with all respect, I mean, you just make these claims.
Well, I'd like to see, so could I ask Dick Cheney and George, Dick Cheney in particular, because he's the one who keeps saying it. Could I see some proof that there was a connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11, please?
Oh, and I'd like to see that, too, but that's not the point. That's really not the point we're talking about.
Well, it's my opinion. In my opinion, I think it's absolutely possible that the CIA had killed these two soldiers so they could use them for this propaganda.
Well, and you're certainly welcome to your opinion, and that's why I guess I was just so startled to hear you say that, because that is one of the most outrageous things.
I don't think so. Considering how this government behaves, I don't think it's outrageous.
Well, I mean, on the scale, why stop at two? I mean,
I'll tell you why. Because every other soldier who is killed is like, you read the Pentagon announced today the four soldiers were killed. And they just get added to the list. Because these soldiers were killed supposedly in this horrible, that I don't even want to think about it way. They became a national news story. And they became very useful for the propaganda about the war.
But I mean, if you take it to that extreme, I mean, why don't we gas a few too with the weapons that they say they found? And why don't we take a few others here and do something else? I mean,
I will tell you something else. Remember Nick Berg? Remember that guy that got beheaded? I think we did that too.
Okay.
And I also think that it was the CIA or somebody who shot at the car with that Italian journalist who had been kidnapped by the Iraqis. And remember we accidentally killed the head of the Italian CIA. I think that was no accident at all.
Okay, so let's go back to Nick Berg for a minute. You think the five guys standing behind him as he was being beheaded by a sixth person, you think those were all CIA people?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That I absolutely believe. I think that was, they do these things to whip up the American people to begin to approve of the war.
I think that you have such a deep hatred for what's going on in the Bush administration that you're losing all clarity of thought.
Well, I think that too sometimes myself. But then I think maybe I just have a deep understanding of how evil they are.
I never
for one minute believed that Nick Byrd was killed by Iraqis. I think that the people, remember at the beginning, they kidnapped those two girl Italian journalists who both had the same first name, whatever their name was. I think so much of that was done by the CIA. I really do.
Well, and I'm not that familiar. I mean, I remember that, and I'm not familiar with that one. But, I mean, I saw the Nick Burke video, and I just cannot believe that there are people like yourself that truly believe that those were our own people in that video doing that. Sorry, I guess I just have a better outlook on human nature, no matter what.
I have a fabulous outlook on human nature, but I don't think the people running our government at the moment are necessarily human.
Well, we will have to respectfully disagree there.
Okay, but I do think that we killed those two soldiers last week. I really do.
Thanks very much.
Okay, bye. What can I tell you? I just think these people are beyond evil. I really do. But I recognize, I said earlier, that I sometimes wonder if, like, I just hate them so much, you know, that maybe I'm not thinking clearly. But on the other hand, I really tend to more believe that I just am learning how to think like they think. And the main thing you have to remember about Bush and all these people is no human life has any meaning to them, except possibly their own. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Ed Schultz, right after Lynn Samuels, 3 p.m. East, noon out West on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
All right, just hold on another minute, because I can't let this day end without telling you this story. 30 years ago, I worked at WBAI, which was the Pacifica station in New York. You California guys, you know, there's KPFA and KPFK and, you know, the Houston station really practically doesn't exist anymore. But, you know, it's left wing. Please, these people make me look like Ann Coulter. They're so left wing. And there was a guy there, the nastiest, sleaziest, most vile, despicable, just such a horrible person was there at this station named Steve Finkelstein. And I hated him. I mean, this guy, I can't even, he just, to be in a room with him made your skin crawl. You know, and it wasn't even anything you could exactly put your finger on, but he made your skin crawl. Well, I ran into him about a year ago at a street fair. And now he's even older. He's physically an extremely unattractive person. He is. He looks even worse than he does. You know, he looks kind of like that Joel Steinberg guy who killed his daughter all those years ago. And I ran into him and he was still making my skin crawl. And he was just a mean, awful, horrible person. And he told me that he was probably going to have to go to jail. Well, I opened my New York Daily News today. It's one of the happiest moments in my life. And I get to page 22. And he's going to jail. How, isn't that nice? He met women at Mensa. You know, that high IQ thing. And he would, like, get them to let him live with them. He's a Casanova. How a man this unattractive could be a Casanova is beyond me. See, would get the women to let him live with them, and then he would collect welfare, and it did, like, welfare fraud, and then he was harassing the women. Just like a walking sack of crap. So it's wonderful, but he's only going to prison for 1 to 3 years. And it's actually, I would think for fraud, 1 to 3 years, you're probably out in like 3 days. You know, they don't have room in the prisons for this. But it was just so nice. You know, it's going to be nearly as nice as when you see Bush going, you know, walking up the steps to the gallows at The Hague. The same thing I said about Bill Clinton, by the way. I said that Bill Clinton should have been tried at The Hague. Rob in California.
Hi, I just wanted to give you a little support there, Lynn, that, you know, really, if you really trace the situation all the way back, the whole 9/11 thing, which was orchestrated by the government at some level, is why we're in Iraq now. So really, the government is responsible for all these soldiers' death. But even in these particular two cases, even the family members' first response was, the federal government didn't have a plan in place, they're responsible for the death of the soldiers. You know, so even the family...
Oh, yeah, and the right wing was attacking... What was it, the uncle of Christian Menaka? Yeah. It was his uncle who said that. And immediately the right wing started attacking the uncle.
Right, exactly.
He had no right to say that. You're not allowed to have a family member killed and, like, you don't blame everybody but the government.
Right, and in the Nicholas Berg video, I work in medicine. I happen to be a Navy hospital corpsman, still serving, about to retire. And when Nicholas Berg had his head cut off, it was pretty obvious that he was already dead. There was no spurting out of the arteries. If you look at the guy's clothes behind them, they look like typical American clothes. One of the guys is fidgeting around in tennis shoes, and it was right after Abu Ghraib. You know, so it was a very convenient time to have someone's head cut off.
As you know, this was very convenient, you know, to suddenly say they were grabbed by 30 hooded men, you know, could be anybody. And
right.
Let's have another beheading because people are starting not to like this war very much.
Right, and you know, and I'm not saying that I know exactly what to believe or not to believe, Lynn, but you know, what you're saying certainly isn't that outrageous at all in a war of propaganda.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Are they really going to let you retire?
Yeah, they're going to let me retire. Yeah.
All right, because I keep reading these articles how people in the military come up for retirement and they're suddenly being told no, you know, like...
That's a very, very much an Army thing.
Oh, okay.
National Guard thing. Actually, they're paying people to get out of the Navy. You know, on one...
Why?
Yeah, because they are cutting back on the Navy and they're cutting back on the Air Force. What they're doing is they're de-intellectualizing the force. You know, the people who I'm not saying the Army's stupid. What I'm saying is they need grunts. They need ground troops. They need guys.
Cannon fodder, I think, is the expression.
Yeah, and so that's what they need. And so the people who are up there, you know, that are, right now there's a program called Blue to Green, where if you're in the Navy, you can cross over to the Army without ease. But can you stay in the Navy? No. They need Army officers, so they're paying Navy officers to go into the Army.
And they're also, I read, are now starting to send Navy men to Iraq to do basically jobs that the Army should be doing because they don't have enough Army. They're making the Navy do this stuff that you're not
That's correct. Security forces, manning the prisons like Abu Ghraib and all those places. Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're making them into, and the Air Force too. The Air Force, they're turning them into people who are security forces when really they're, you know, IT specialists or they're map readers or maybe they're linguists. I met a guy the other day. He speaks Korean and he's being sent to Iraq and he's a Korean linguist. What a waste of money to spend the money on this kid to train him in Korean and then have him lose his life in Iraq. You know, I mean, they're not talking to any Koreans over there. Why wouldn't you, you know, preserve this guy for some future conflict potentially on the horizon?
It's my perception that, you know, they will deny it if we ever get rid of Bush, that he has pretty much destroyed the military.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that the officer corps does because they're true and blue to the president, and you got to be your commander in chief. You got to follow him. That's your job. But Secretary Rumsfeld is not loved whatsoever at all among the officer corps because they see what he's doing in terms of, you know, dismantling, turning over things to contract workers, and you know he's really, really done a good job at you know scaling down the military and gutting us, and at the same time demoralizing us.
Oh God, when are you getting out?
September.
Good luck.
Thank you very much. But yeah, but I'm part of the 9/11 Truth Movement. I protested in Chicago at the beginning of the month. I'll be in L.A. This weekend.
Oh, wow. You're really, aren't you taking a chance? Are you even allowed, to do all of this?
I wasn't vocal there, but I brought my 18-year-old son, too, and he was the one who carried the signs. I was educating him. And then we're going to be at the L.A. conference this at the end of this weekend where, you know, I don't know if you noticed the Scholars for Truth got on Hannity and Combs last night. That was a major move.
They did? No, I didn't notice because I can't watch that show. It makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, well, Sean wasn't on. Oliver North was. And again, it was really nice because the guy got a chance to say, hey, well, Oliver, you know how things are compartmentalized and covered up in the government, don't you?
And so, he should know, since he was down in the basement of the White House running his own little operation.
Right, and so that's exactly what the guy, exactly what the professor from Wisconsin was able to demonstrate with him.
Oh, that's great. Because there'd be no point in having him on with Sean, because Sean would just go, yes or no, do you think the government did 9/11? And the guy would try to explain something, and Sean would just scream, yes or no.
Yeah, you know, it's really sad to watch Shane Hunter, because, you know, he's got some raw talent in his ability to communicate, and you know what, he's gone and bastardized himself and prostituted himself out to the conservative movement when he could really be helping America.
Yeah, but he believes all that crap. I know him, and I know he believes every word out of his mouth, because he's stupid, among other things.
Yeah, maybe he got paddled a little too many times by Opus Dei.
Thank you, dear. And I didn't even see the Da Vinci Code. I don't know. I can't make him go away. Pause, gone, whatever. Is this not working? Yes, it worked. All right, I'm going to take a break, and I'll come back and talk to the rest of you. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Stephanie Miller, right after the Young Turks, weeknights at 9 East, 6 West on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Marvin, you hung up. Garrett said, Marvin's the only one who disagrees with you. And actually, a couple of people hung up, and Marvin was next. You know, we see how long you've been hanging on. Rich, Boston, 11 minutes and 17 seconds.
Hi, baby. How
are
you?
Hi, what's up?
I just wanted to say that I don't think it's such a big stretch to think that the U.S. government is behind all of this, because we basically manufactured the Spanish-American War with Randolph Hearst and the U.S. government.
Yes.
You know, that whole thing was manufactured.
Yes, and the Gulf of Tonkin.
Absolutely. And why is it such this whole idea about believing in human nature? I mean, we know for a fact that we've been torturing people. Abu Ghraib has been all over the news. Look what's going on down in Guantanamo Bay and all the secret torture bases that we have in Eastern Europe and Sub-Saharan Africa.
People don't want to believe. Do you? I don't even want to believe this. Do you want to believe this? I don't.
No, I want to believe.
But there are people who cannot bring themselves to accept reality, you know.
No. Listen, you know, signs that are above places like Auschwitz are interchangeable. It can be any person or group that runs these things and puts those people in the gas chambers. It can be anybody.
But you know what it is? It's that people identify with their country. So I think there are some people who feel like, well, my God, you know, like, if my country is doing it, I'm responsible. Maybe that's part of it.
Of course. You know why? Because we live, allegedly, in a democracy, and we're supposed to be responsible for the government. So these people think, no.
Well, that was only prior to the last two stolen elections.
The last two. We haven't had a democracy here in 8 years, so why the hell should we be imposing it?
But nobody believes that. You know, they don't want anybody to even remember back to the year 2000. He didn't get elected. We're supposed to act as though we had an election like every other election, and he got elected. If you say to anybody on the right, well, for God's sake, he was picked by the Supreme Court, and they go, oh, please, you know, then he was elected after that, forget it. No!
Unbelievable.
Well, I just put up a story this morning on my website that's long, but it's good for the weekend, called the Guantanamo Bay Bar Association from New York Magazine. You will just die. It is about these New York lawyers that went down to defend some of these people at Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
That it makes you cry. These are like poor, pathetic people who just got picked up and thrown into that prison for no reason.
Oh, the Pakistani kids from Britain.
Well, the movie that's opening, The Road to Guantanamo.
Yeah.
But there are even more. I mean, they're obviously there may be a terrorist in there, you know. But most of these people are just like people. They're never going to get out of there.
Wrong time, wrong place, wrong time.
Well, you know, also, something I keep forgetting, even, is the American soldiers did not arrest most of those people. You know, it's like, oh, we picked them up in Afghanistan. Mostly, they were picked up by the warlords, turned over to the American army, who paid for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you didn't like your neighbor, you know, you could, like, grab his son and hand his son to the Americans and you'd get $10,000. You know, which, God knows, in Afghanistan, 10,000 American dollars must be like $1 million.
Oh, you could live like Bill Gates.
You know, so, I mean, the whole thing, but read this article, you know, if you want to depress yourself. Read it tonight so you don't ruin your whole weekend.
Well,
thank you.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye. Everybody should get drunk or go buy a sports sack bag. One or the other. Tony in Lexington, Kentucky.
Hey.
What's up?
I just wanted to comment that I don't think it's so far-fetched that our government would do these types of things, killing those boys and other things that people, you know, believe that could not have been done. You look at what they did in the, you know, the Tuskegee experiment where they denied treatment to black men who were infected with syphilis just so they could monitor how the disease progressed. And
there were all those southern states that used to sterilize people, women.
Yeah. I believe it was the in the 30s, there was an experiment that they injected small amounts of plutonium into women, pregnant women, to see what would happen.
Yes. And they also, in the 60s, and everybody said that we were making this up, but it finally came out that it was true, where they were just giving people LSD.
Yes. I can't remember the name of that project, but Project Ultra, something
like that. And it was also like, some, you're insane, it's a conspiracy, how can you say that? And finally, some government papers got declassified, and they were just unknowingly giving, people didn't know they were getting LSD, and like, one guy just jumped out a window and killed himself. And it turned out it was absolutely true. MK Ultra.
Yeah. Nobody wants to believe that their government is capable of doing, you know, bad things. But the fact of the matter is, history proves that not only can they will. And this bunch.
I mean, this is the worst bunch of people I've ever seen in my life.
You know, if you present people with these facts and they, you know, many try to rationalize it, saying that it was done years ago and, you know, you couldn't get away with that in this day and age, but he can get away with it, and it'll just be dismissed 20 years from now because they say it was done too far in the past.
Exactly. Exactly. That's so funny. I was thinking about that yesterday. I said, you know, like, when we really find out how he, you know, stole the election in 2000, stole the election in 2004, by the time anybody finds out, God knows what'll be going on then. And they'll say, oh, for God's sake, that was 20 years ago, it was 30 years ago, who cares? So they walk away scot-free.
Yeah, I think it's a sad state of affairs, I think.
But. Well, I am looking forward to at least when he's out of office, that I will live long enough to hear people say this was like a nightmare. This was like a nightmare for 8 years for this country.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's like a nightmare. This is, and my mother obviously is older than I am. She's like 86 years old. My mother and I have a neighbor about the same age. They both say they have never in their lives seen anything like what is going on in this country now. You know, when these are people in their mid-80s, have never seen anything like this. So there you go. Try to have a nice weekend.
I will. You too.
Get drunk, but not while you're driving. Okay? I'm all for, we need a lot of self-medication. We really do need a lot of self-medication. But the fact is, when people in their 80s who lived through the Depression and the Second World War, and, you know, say they've never said, my mother or my neighbor Gloria, they both of them, it's like, I never saw anything like this. And I certainly never saw anything like this. Hi, Reggie.
Yes.
You're on Sirius with Lynn.
Well, Lynn, hi, this is Reggie.
Yes.
I just wanted to call. I love your show, but I just want to call and tell you that I'm a Vietnam-era veteran. When I was in the Army in Fort Riley, Kansas, whenever I got a weekend off and I didn't have KP or guard duty, I go to the local towns and protest against the war in Vietnam. And I was in the Army.
I didn't think you were supposed to. I may be wrong. I guess I am wrong.
That's what I love about this country. We still have rights, or we did have rights back then. I was a good soldier. I had nothing against being a soldier, but I just thought the war was illegal. Anyway, that's my
comment. I thought actually maybe it's officers who you have to be so loyal to the president, to your commander, and
well, I agree. You do to a point, but you still have an opinion. And when you're not on duty, you can be a civilian and being an American.
Okay, then I'm wrong. Although that Army officer did say he has his son carry the signs.
Yeah, that's
fine. But these people are so vicious.
He's a good officer.
And these people in this government now are so vicious. God knows what they do to you.
Oh, it's going to hell in a handbag.
Well, I'm telling you, the thing we need to look forward to is just all the articles that we're going to be seeing in, maybe 5 years if we're lucky, saying the year 2000 till 2008 was an anomaly and it was a nightmare, and now it's over.
I hope it gets over. It's terrible.
Well, so do I. I hope we last, but that's what I'm looking forward to. Thanks, hon.
I love your show, Lynn.
Thank you. Bye. And I love that you weren't on the cell phone. That's another love. Here, I have the story up. I really do. I have fabulous stories. Army First Lieutenant Aaron Wataba, everybody's hero now, is at Fort Lewis, which I guess is in Seattle, and his unit deployed to Iraq, and he wouldn't go. And apparently, officers above him were talking to him till the last minute, saying, you can still go, you can still go. And he won't go because he thinks this war is illegal and he will not go back to Iraq with his unit. And they don't know what's going to happen. They say it's now a case. The Army said it's a case for military justice. He was in Iraq once and he just said no. No, no, no. Illegal. So they haven't said yet whether they're going to court-martial him or what they're going to do. But they don't want him to leave the base. All right, I can see that. Oh, God, I have to give you a big warning when we come back. It's a big warning. You people have to watch out. There's like something so terrible coming to some cities in America. I don't know how you're going to stand it. Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left 146. All right, watch out, watch out. Denver on July 13th and San Diego, I don't know when, CBS is sending Katie Couric. Oh, God, can you believe Katie Couric is going to be the news anchor? You know, everybody got all excited about it before, and I'm like, oh, who cares? But now it's like sinking in to me. You know, that any minute, a few months, you're going to turn on the TV at 6:30, which I never do anyway. And this little ditz, the bodies of two soldiers were found today beheaded. What? And they throw Dan Rather out like a sack of garbage. This is I'll tell you, the nightmare of Bush may end, but, this nightmare will never end. I can't, but Katie Couric? So CBS is sending her on a tour to meet with listeners and find out what they want on the news. Oh, could you give me cooking tips? Oh, could you tell me, like, if stripes are in this year? Could you tell me, like, did you get a Brazilian? What? What we want to see on the news is the news. It's disgusting. And the weird thing is, I was reading this article yesterday, and I'm I'm saying, God, that sounds exactly like what Hillary Clinton did when she ran the first time for senator. She went on a listening tour upstate, and everybody mocked her. All right, I have to do this. I've had this up since yesterday. This gives new meaning to the phrase, go fuck yourself. Chinese scientists have discovered an orchid that reproduces in an adverse climate by twisting its male sex organ so that it can fertilize its female sex. This orchid literally fucks itself so there can be other orchids, because it's like too dry, the weather is terrible, and the pollen doesn't go. So I twist this little flower dick around and sticks its little flower dick into its little flower vagina. And then there are more flowers. Oh, forget about Bush. Really, we're all going to go crazy. Have a nice time. Self-medicate yourself. Till Monday. I certainly am. And if I'm still alive, I'll see you Monday. Thank you, Garrett. Nice to see you back.